peace to all the earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. World of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins. Glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of matins on page 219 in the hymnal, also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. Thus is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
We
We speak the intro at Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage?
And the peoples plot in vain.
The kings of the earth set themselves.
And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage,
and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron,
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, Your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
You'll notice in this reading from Hebrews chapter 1 that I put in the place where each of these quotes are from, and I won't read that along, but you will see that the prophet or the writer of Hebrews really dug back into the Old Testament, showing that Jesus indeed was to be born and is true God. Our New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many places, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become a much superior to angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, lay the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forwards for the anthem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
The congregation may be seated. We don't have any children here today to come forwards, but I just wanted to share with you one or two thoughts that I was going to share with them. Yesterday afternoon at 1 p.m., we had a service, and two of our children that usually come to church were here, and we left the Christ candle unlit at the beginning of service, but at the time of the children's message, they helped me light that middle candle, the Christ candle. And I asked the children about that, and they knew actually what it was called. It was volunteered, "That's the Christ candle. And why do we light it?" And they said, "God, Jesus is our light." And that witness was very important, and it's important no matter what our age is. And it's very clear in the reading in 1 John, or John chapter 1, but Jesus is a light. And whatever darkness, or I was going to use scary things for the children, whatever scary things we face, whatever problems we face, Jesus is the light. He gives us medicines and people to help us, but he's underneath it all. He is the light. And that's very important for us to remember. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your light in our lives. Help us to bear witness to you and not doubt that you are the light, but that you can overcome all darkness. In your name we pray. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn. Message this morning, we reflect upon especially John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which was our gospel reading. But to start, I'm going to reread a couple of verses from Hebrews 1 that we also just read. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Merry Christmas. We gather in the name of Jesus. This is what Christmas is about. It is about the birth of this baby, the Savior, the very Son of God incarnate, of which our Christmas hymns, our Christmas carols are so very clear about. And as clear as the scriptures are, and as clear as our hymns are, Yet there is also always this confusion about Jesus, who he is, and what Christmas is about. And it goes from the very time, well, you can say before Jesus, but let's say at the birth of Jesus. You know, that the shepherds were quite serious about who Jesus was about. They had an angel announcement, an angel choir sing to them. They were clear. But it says that they told everybody, and they wondered what was going on. What are they talking about? Jesus, as a boy, 12 years old in the temple, when he visited the temple, we imagine those scribes talking with the young boy Jesus, or the young man Jesus, 12 years old. Who is this fellow that knows the scriptures? And then he tells his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, do you remember? Why were you looking for me? Why were you worried for me? Did you know? Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? And as Jesus began his public ministry, there is confusion about him all the time. Who is he? Is he one of the prophets? They even said, is he John? After John the Baptist was put to death, is he John come back from the dead? All this confusion. Or was he like a divine being, some people said, an angel perhaps, not God himself, but an angel, which is one thing that the writer to the Hebrews is countering. Is he very political for this world? Was he a revolutionary? In fact, there's one blog I read, or it's an amalgamation of blogs, zerohedge.com. It's very interesting. Three articles this morning on who Jesus is. One was a revolutionary, and one about Christmas in the U.S. and everything. It's a very political, sometimes religious blog, pulls in things from all over. But it's interesting. People had all kinds of ideas then and now about Jesus. Is he a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, or what? Is he green? I've said this in Bible class or from the pulpit before, but it comes to mind because it still sits in my craw. I was a pastor in that small town in South Dakota, Parkston, South Dakota, and we had this old Suburban from Deb's uncle, and it was old. It was 25 years old, about 25 years old. And Debbie was driving it. She happened to be working at Walmart as seasonal worker in Mitchell. And she had to drive back. It was seasonal worker for Christmas time. She drove back in really bad storms. She needed a four-wheel drive. So it worked, but then she got pulled over by the police because not all the lights were lit. It was old, the wiring was going bad. And by this time, we had our four children. And if you remember back then, this is 2001, 2002. There weren't many cars with six seatbelts. You had to get something larger, like a Suburban. There weren't this mid-size SUV. There weren't so many of them. So the leaders in the congregation there at Faith Lutheran, they knew that I had this dilemma. They knew my wife had been pulled over because the wiring was bad. They knew she drove at night after her shift in the storms of South Dakota from Mitchell, and they knew I needed six seatbelts, and we were looking. And I couldn't hardly find a car with the six seatbelts that had four-wheel drive. And there was a local, very little Chevy dealer in town, and they all talked to him. And it was the Suburban, a brand-new 1990 Suburban, or used, almost new, that the lawyer in town had always driven, and he had kept exactly the right maintenance to it. It is in excellent shape, and he wanted the new model. So it was only 2.5 years old. So they said, Pastor, we know there's a new Suburban. I forget the fellow's name. So we went and we got that Suburban. Just at that time, there was a big movement, as there's always fads and movements. What would Jesus drive? And it was stated very clearly all over by this movement that Jesus would never drive an SUV because that would take too much gas. And when that came out, I was just furious. Jesus gave me 4 children. My wife was working 30 miles away. She had to drive through South Dakota winters, storms, and the one we had, she got pulled over for because the lights would go out. And my Christian brothers in my congregation found this good vehicle, very good vehicle. We drove it for a long time. And you're telling me Jesus is not happy with me. So the thing about when we say, what is Jesus about? What we often do, even we're tempted as Christians to do this, is to say, what I like, that must also be what Jesus is like. Since I'm a good person and since my thoughts, I think they're pretty good and they're better than those thoughts, then Jesus must be like me and supports me. But when we go into the scriptures over and over again, we see that it's Jesus who is God, who gives us identity, who gives us leadership, who defines us, not we, him. John 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the absolute communication from God. The Word is with God. And that preposition there, with, can also be translated toward or aligned with God. So this communication from God is the absolute truth. What Jesus communicates, who he is what God is about. If we, as Jesus said many times, if we have seen him, we have seen the Father. And not only that, the Word was God, is God. Some people have a problem with that translation. There's one translation, English translation of the Bible, that says, is a God, small g. That is not a good translation. He is God. And he was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the head of all things. And so anything worthwhile, anything that's not outright evil, anything that we think about in this world, Jesus is underneath it. Jesus is supporting it. Things are twisted in this world and confused, but he wants his truth to come out. He will use all these different things, and he wants to bring his truth out. He is at the middle of it. Things don't define Jesus. Jesus defines things of this world. And we oftentimes don't approach it like that. He is the head of all things. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through him. Things have been corrupted by sin and death and the power of the devil, we know. But all things were made through him, and even the things that are corrupted, things that of humans have to be forgiven, or he has to purify, all things are made through him. They do not control him. The corruption does not control Jesus. He controls all things. And nothing even exists without Christ. If you think about it, it's silly for an organization or a certain way of thinking to say, Jesus must agree with me as if I'm controlling him. No, you would not even exist if it wasn't for Christ. Anything this group or this way of thinking, anything good at all, even if it's a little good, would not even exist if it were not Christ. It gets more specific. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. We have thought about several times in our Isaiah 9 prophecy sermon series that the light that Jesus is and brought into Naphtali and Zebulun and the world is not a physical spiritual light, not a lamp, not an oil lamp, not the sun. That's not the light that he brings, because all people have that already. So also, when it says here, in him was life, this is something more than biological life. This is something more than health and wealth. This is a divine life that people do not have without him. He brings it. It's more than biological life. And that life is the light of men, John says. So that life is also light. And again, that's not the physical light of lamps or the sun or the stars. It's God's light of truth, of true life that we can't have without him. And that light is so purifying and true and good for us that John says a light shines in the darkness. And that's interesting. I looked at one commentary pointed out, shines is a continuing verb. What does that mean? The light, another way of translating that, is the light continues to shine. It is continuing to shine. It never stops shining. That light continues to shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. How can we say Happy New Year? It's because we had a Merry Christmas, because Christ's light has come, and his light cannot be overcome by darkness. Cannot. When you think through just a little bit of these words from John, these opening words of John's gospel, you realize that it is Christ who brings us light and life, and it's him who gives us truth and wisdom. And it's silly to try to overtake Christ or to use Christ for this political reason or this philosophical reason or whatever, whatever, whatever. No, Christ controls us. And he wants us to give us life that the world cannot even think about, because it doesn't have it without him. And he wants to give us light that the world cannot imagine about, because it is God's divine light, that without him, all we have is spiritual darkness. It's very interesting with all the things of Christmas advertisements, things you can do, celebrations. It's quite remarkable that first Charlie Brown cartoon questioned the meaning of Christmas. And Charlie Brown asks, "What does anybody know what Christmas is all about?" And Linus says, "I'll tell you." And he quotes to him from Luke 2, the birth narrative of Jesus. And he merely says, after quoting the passage, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." If we would have stayed at that and not added all so many things, that would have been wonderful, but that the world is what it is. But think about that. Christmas, what we need is Christ. And he is our light and our life. And he controls our minds and our thinking so that we will serve him in different ways in this life. But this life doesn't control our thinking. He controls our thinking, because we get from him what we need. His life, his light, his truth. Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Isaiah includes himself in the prophecy, and all who would read this prophecy. It's for us, for whom Christ is given. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we forget how important, how vital, how central your Son is to us. And help us to be comforted. Help us to know that you love us. Help us to know that you overcome darkness through your Son, Jesus. Keep him central in our thoughts and minds, and help us to be a good witness. And comfort us to know that he was born for us. In the holy name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn of the Father's Love Begotten, hymn 384. The offering can be brought up during the last hymn, verse of the hymn.
Andy.
We continue with the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the eternal Word made flesh and his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, that his praise would be extended into all the world, and that many with us would come to hope in his steadfast love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who publish peace and bring good news of happiness in Christ, that they would be kept faithful to declare his reign, and for all missionaries at home and abroad, that all the ends of the earth may see his salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For families who gather in this holy season, that they may have patience, love, and joy in their gatherings, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the lonely, that they may be comforted with Christ's presence, and we may extend to them the welcome of our homes and the friendship of his grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in poverty or want, that they may be helped, that God would increase our generosity, and that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For safety in this cold and snowy winter for all people, let us pray before the Lord. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, that it would walk humbly before the true God, and for our soldiers who stand watch this day, that they would be kept safe and their families would be upheld while they are apart. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for those who we know are sick or in illness, and we pray these names privately in our hearts during this time of silence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, lonely, grieving, and poor in spirit, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Grace, Sue and Steve, Rick, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Jim, Pastor Shiwi, Pastor Sigmund, and Ohio District President Dr. Wilson. That they may find comfort and healing in Jesus Christ, the light no darkness can overcome, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We thank you, Lord God, for all your people who have gone before us and now rest in your presence. Keep us faithful with them until that day when you make all things new. For you live and reign with Christ and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray together the collect for the day. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen. Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn. Or maybe not yet.
As a representative of the congregation, we'd like to wish you and Deb a very Merry Christmas. And as our token of appreciation, I give you this.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart
sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, where fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to love and wonder.